The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, you've made it halfway through the Tuesday show right here on the Can It Be the 30th of May. Only one day left, and then we hit sweet into June right there by Thursday. George Brockler on the George Show on 710 KNUS. We're continuing a conversation we started in the 7 o'clock hour with Rebecca, who has recklessly thrown caution to the wind and decided to stick around to answer more of your questions by text or cell phone. Why, if you're just tuning in now, would you want to do that? Because Rebecca is and was a biological male, is a female now, transgender or trans woman is, I think, what we settled on for purposes of this conversation. But you, of course, don't go out and tell people, hey, I'm a trans woman. You're just a woman. And that's how you present and that's how you're dressed. And you have been very good about allowing folks to call in at 303-696-1971 and ask questions as well as some of the texts. I want to get to all those, but we've had some callers hang on through this. I want to honor them and get right to the phone calls first. And then I promise we'll get right back into the you and me part of this conversation. Jacqueline from Sydney, Nebraska. You're on 710 KNUS. Jacqueline, what question do you have for Rebecca?
Well, good morning, George. Good morning. I want to ask Rebecca if she has really thought about what that surgery will do. As far as urinary and health issues, urinary tract infections, I mean, he will or she will be plagued with that probably for the rest of her life. And then there's also the fact that she's going to be castrated and there will be no more sex, not as she's known it in the past. So I wonder if she's really thought of what will happen below the waist if she has that surgery. And I'll get off here.
Jacqueline, thank you for listening, and thanks for the great phone call as well. Rebecca, I think those are questions we sort of started to touch upon in that last hour. What do you think about all that?
I've researched it extensively, thought about it extensively. That's part of the reason I said at my age, right, is it worth it?
Yeah.
And that's with all those. That's the stuff, like, I'm not going to get into details. That's the details. So she just – well, it was a great call because she got to explain the details versus me.
Well, the other part of presenting as a woman and being a woman, living a life of a woman, is having the possibility of, I presume, an intimate relationship with a person of your choice.
Yes.
Is any of that impacted? That's a stupid question. It's impacted by this decision.
Sure.
But does that come into play at all?
So this is another thing with the whole gender dysphoria, right? Like, I'm attracted to women.
Yeah.
So my whatever that biological part of me, wherever that transgender thing is,
that's
in
fascinating.
My head. Right. I know. And that's part of the struggle I have, right? Because it doesn't make sense to me. But then again, okay, so am I a gay woman, right? I mean, that doesn't make sense.
So, does that make you a lesbian?
It would make me a lesbian, which doesn't make any sense,
right? A trans lesbian?
Yeah, so, like, how weird is that? So, I think that there's a lot of I think, ironically, a lot of the trans women that I've, like, researched, that they've written things or that have YouTube channels, a lot of them are attracted to women. So that seems to – and again, I'm this is anecdotal to the extent of, you know, the nth degree. It seems to me that the trans women that are – like the whole thing since you were a child and as long as you remember, most of us as a group are still biologically attracted to the opposite sex of – the opposite sex, same gender, opposite sex.
Huh.
Which tells me that sex drive is more of a monkey brain primal thing versus gender, which I think is more of an intellectual part of your brain.
And I've had this conversation with Billy. When did gender become disconnected from sex? Because
Gender's always been disconnected.
Didn't we always grow up, girls are women?
I'll give you a perfect example.
Boys are dudes.
There are effeminate men. Is effeminate described gender or sex?
I'm not sure it describes either. I mean, you're sort of suggesting that someone has the characteristics
of a girl, right?
Yeah.
They're effeminate, right? But you don't say that's because they're a girl.
If somebody dressed like a girl, I wouldn't call that effeminate. I'd probably call that...
weird, I know
Like cross-dressing or...
well, cross-dressing, yeah.
Or dress... But dudes that have effeminate qualities, I don't consider them to be women.
No, but you consider them effeminate.
But also, feminine, what about girls that were tomboys or that you would describe as butch growing up?
Masculine, right?
Yeah.
So masculine, feminine, those terms are more of, they refer more to gender than the sex, because we've associated sex with gender as opposed to gender with sex. But yet we use gender words with the opposite sex. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm trying to explain.
We've used those as descriptors. I get it.
But descriptors have been used to describe sex. Sex has never been used to describe descriptors. That's what I'm trying to say, right?
Well, what about tomboy?
Well, again, using the word tomboy by putting boy into it, right? But boy is not a sex. It is a gender term. It's not a sex term. Sex terms are male and female,
but
correct? Biological sex is male,
yeah,
or female.
Right.
And then there's genetic issues, obviously. But there's male and female. And then we have all of these words that are masculine and feminine. If you go into other languages like Spanish or Italian, I mean, they have specifically, you know, if feminine and masculine ways of expressing things. And so those words have always been a little more amorphous in the sense of what they describe versus just the gender, right?
It seems like lately, and maybe it's only because this has become much more of a hot button topic.
True.
That it seems like in the past, these two things were just taken as interchangeable. Like the gender and the sex. If you asked anybody 40 years ago, they aren't going to come up with 8 billion different genders and tell you that you can switch between the two. There was no such thing as gender fluidity. You know, it was like, hey, if your sex is female, you are a girl or a woman. And if you see what I'm saying? But lately, there has been a real effort to try to redefine, and maybe redefine is too strong, but to definitely emphasize that gender is disconnected from sex. And so it leads us to these limitless number of genders. Have you heard about that? What do you think about that?
Well, so I think, you know, vocabulary as a whole, I mean, George Orwell's 1984 is such a brilliant book, right? Written in 1930-something or 40-something. You know, this is the difference between language evolving and language being changed, right? So language evolves, and I feel like a lot of the gender stuff is more of an evolutionary thing versus a lot of the stuff that I feel like is created by both the conservatives and the liberals, you know, like the alt-right, all of this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, there's some crazy people out there and they need a term, right, on the right. But there's also some crazy people on the left, right? That's the thing, is that so we start to make up words, again, like transphobic or anything phobic, right? Like phobic is the new thing in the last decade, right? Like,
yeah. It's meant to shut down conversation, to label,
right,
and to just dismiss. If you can call someone something phobic,
yes,
then it's over.
Right. Well, and that's the best way for anybody to do anything. I mean, the right does it, the left does it. I feel like the left's a little more accomplished at it. The left's very refined at shutting down conversation.
They really are. Well, the Alinsky stuff.
But I also feel like the right doesn't listen sometimes. So those are the two problems, right? Like the left will just stop you talking, and the right sometimes just won't listen, and we'll get so. Anyway,
Before we get to Billy from Parker, here is one of the text questions that's come in, and you can text us at the app or 710KNUS.com. You can hit us on the Rumble. You can join Billy on the line here at 303-696-1971. Here's the question for Rebecca. If there was a medication that would trick your brain into thinking you're back to your biological sex, would you take it?
So I would have when I was younger, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, I struggled so hard to repress it that would have just made it easier. I think having gone through all of the therapy I've gone through now and realizing that it's not necessarily a broken part, that it's different, I wouldn't do that now.
Why not?
Because I'm happy, really happy. So why would I change that?
If the pill could make you think you were happy, though, back to being...
Oh, sure, it'd be easier. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Would you take one that would help you to forget that you were a guy? You see what I'm saying? Like the other way, the pill where you could take one that would just...
As long as it didn't make me forget my... No, because it would make me forget my life.
It's a tough one. I mean, it's a weird hypothetical, but I love it.
I mean, it's a clever way to think about it, right?
Yeah.
Because
if you had the choice, would you...
At one point, I would have, yes.
But not now?
No.
Got another... question here that kind of feeds right. I'll get to this in a minute. I just want to get to Billy on the line too while we have the time. Billy, you're on 710 KNUS. Billy, what's your question for Rebecca?
Well, actually, it's not a question, but I think this is a brilliant conversation this morning. Whoa. And Rebecca gave me an aha moment. And whenever we were talking about Target and Kohl's.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. And there's a lot of hype on the right, which is kind of pushing towards the boycott.
Yeah.
And I think the root of a lot of this is a lot of exaggeration and a lot of hyperbole. Yesterday, I would have said, you know what? The Target's being really inappropriate. The stuff that they're doing kind of out in left field. But then I was thinking about, okay, we got Jared Polis, Marlon Reese. They're a married couple. They've adopted a couple kids. That's where your market is for stuff like that. So I asked myself, could that be available to them? And in a free United States, absolutely. They should be able to buy those
absolutely. Amen, Billy.
And I think that on the right, there's a lot of exaggeration. This stuff is not being forced on people. The product is available. Take it or leave it. There's not a lot of over-the-top advertising or anything like that. But the left also is masters, like what Rebecca just said, of manipulating language, creating things that are not there, the phobia and things like that. And I think that's part of the reason why we're in the mess that we're in, is our media and their fear porn, their exaggeration, their hyperbole. They're making just as much money, if not more, on all of the hype and all that, more than what Target and Kohl's are making on these Pride onesies. So thanks for opening up my eyes a little bit, Rebecca.
Billy, question, and I appreciate that too. I've been in a Target, and I can't remember now where it was. It could have been Saddle Rock. It could have been Parker. It could have somewhere in that area, that South Metro area. And I saw all the Pride stuff. I didn't see any of the T-shirts that were like trans people are here to stay or anything like that. But I did see a lot of the Pride stuff front and center. Is that different than just making it available? Do you feel like it's being pushed to you like, hey, you got to accept this?
Ah, boy, I can say yes and I can say no on that. How over the top is it whenever the display is up in the front? Is it any more over the top than anything else? If I went into King Soopers and the avocados were up at the front of the store, do I feel like I'm being forced to buy
avocados? Yeah, but avocados aren't controversial. You know what I mean? Well, avocados aren't that. Social.
Okay. A lot of people don't like avocados. Yeah, I mean, you know.
And that's a valid point. But does that product placement... Does that product placement mean that it's being forced? I don't think so.
Interesting.
Well, and I have to chime in.
Billy, thank you for the phone call, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, Billy.
Billy's line is open at 303-696-1970.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it is Pride Month. That's part of the reason everything's up front, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like this is all the time. And so what's happening is it's kind of like a convergence of opportunity, right? So first of all, I think some of the Pride stuff obviously is probably more than necessary. Like there's too much of... what they're saying is too politically charged, right? Like for me, I don't wear Pride stuff ever, but you know, the thing is that for me, like, I always like,
well, can we talk about that for just 1 second?
Yeah, I mean,
there may be other reasons you don't. One, it doesn't look good and it's not your taste.
Sure,
maybe
sure.
That's it.
That was,
but the other thing is if you're a person, as you've described yourself to be, that's like, listen, I just want you to leave me the hell alone. I want to live my life as a woman. You might not want to draw any attention to your thoughts on this topic because you don't want people like, you know, really studying you or trying to judge you or something like that. And when you wear that kind of clothing, you sort of invite people to make certain conclusions about your political views and your other things. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. That's true. I mean, there's a lot of straight people that wear Pride stuff in support, right?
Yep.
And that's great. I would have trouble pretending that I'm, you know what?
Yeah.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the closest thing I get to Pride is this ring.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's just because it, you know, it's understated and you can't.
Yeah, that is understated. I wouldn't have.
You would have never known.
I would have never
unless
known.
Unless I told
that.
You, right?
Yeah. We're talking with Rebecca, and you get to also hear Gary from Denver's on the line. We'll get to him and a bunch of the texts that are coming in here. If you've got questions for Rebecca, and I do a ton of them, I'd love to get to those. I do want to tell you, though, before we get back to that, about Super Attorney Dan Kaplis, and it kind of fits this discussion too, because I've worked for Dan. This is going back a long time, 15 years ago. I was not a gray-haired man back then. And Dan represents anybody who is a victim of someone else's negligence, recklessness, or in some cases, intentional conduct. And I know that because we had clients that ran the spectrum. And never once did I ever hear Dan say, I think they're a Republican, or are they a Democrat, or are they this gender, or are they that orientation? Dan has never, ever, never cared about any of that. All he's cared about is, Were you wronged by somebody else? And am I in a position to help you get justice? And that's what makes, I think, Dan's office pretty special. He and Babar Wahid have been doing great things for a long time. In fact, Babar and I did Babar's very first trial way back in about 2000. And if I say it out loud, it makes me feel old, six-ish, right after he graduated the bar. And again, it was just a case where we didn't make a penny. It was just a client, a former client, that came into Dan's office and said, hey, some guy's suing me. It's unjust. It's unfair. I don't know what to do. And Dan said, we'll do it for free. And we did. And of course, we clobbered the other side because that's just what Dan's office does. If you're interested in somebody like that, non-judgmental, but a fierce fighter nonetheless, reach out to Dan at dankaplislaw.com. That's Kaplis, C-A-P-L-I-S, law.com. Or you can check him out at 303-770-5551. That's my recommendation. Call and talk to the nice people that work there. 303-770-5551. Gary, I'll get to you. I promise in just a couple minutes here, I do want to get to some of these texts that have come in here. The question is, so it's okay for males to compete in women's sports? That's a question I told you I was going to ask you about. We had had Riley Gaines on the radio here. They've got the whole Leah Thomas thing. You're familiar with those?
Oh, absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that?
So I really think it's wrong for trans girls to compete in girl sports. I mean, it's just not fair. You know, once you go through puberty at male, the biological development is so much different and so much more competitively advantageous that it's not fair. The only but in that whole thing is that it's if you can imagine again, I'm not supporting girls transitioning younger. If you've gone on puberty blockers and you haven't gone through puberty, that's going to put you. You know, you're not going to have a competitive advantage. So that is one thing that could change how I would feel about a trans girl competing in sports. Then the other thing is that for girls that don't go on puberty blockers, go through puberty, the psychological thing. So as myself, if I were in high school, I would want to compete on girls teams because I'd want to be part of the team.
Yeah. Right?
And so that creates a hard thing. So like,
what do you do about
field
that?
Hockey or basketball or places like that where you're not the sole aspect of it, right?
Like
swimming and tennis and golf and all of these single, individual sports that it's so competitively unfair. It doesn't even make logical sense to me in any way. And I don't know how it makes sense to the people that are defending it.
But you could foresee, though, in the team sports stuff, you could foresee a team of trans women basketball players, dominant.
Again, that would be completely unfair, right? So now, if there's one trans girl on the basketball team, those are the questions that I think at some point are going to have to be figured out societally, right? We got to figure out, because it would be good for them to be able to be a part of the team, but that uncompetitive, and this is going to sound dumb. I mean, it's just kind of, I'm just kind of riffing it here, but like, on a field hockey team, how do you disadvantage the team that has a boy on the team, biological male, that is trans? Is there a way to, do they get an extra penalty? Do they get an extra challenge? Yeah. I mean, those types of things that make it, where do you even out that, it's like sometimes in like baseball games, you get an extra run, right? Those types of things. And I'm not saying those are solutions. I'm just saying that in order for these.
I think to do something like that, to try to change the game in that way, would really kind of ruin the game.
But
I don't mean to take up the other side on this, but what do you say to people who are like, wait a minute, you acknowledge that the trans thing is real, it's who the person is. Are you telling me that if they transition like you did at a certain point, after a certain point in life, they just are not allowed to compete in certain sports in the gender that they are?
Well, so this is coming into light now. So some of these trans women are going on estrogen and they're having testosterone blockers.
Yeah.
And if that happens, unfortunately, if that happens before puberty, I just think I'm not in support of
that. If you do
that.
It after puberty, are you losing all your muscles and
you
stuff?
You do lose a lot of muscle mass, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've lost muscle mass for sure.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. So there is it. So the transition part does actually happen. There is a biological change, but it doesn't change the fact that I can develop more muscle, right? Because my genetics.
Oh, you could even with the estrogen stuff.
Yeah, I would believe so. I mean, I guess I should probably research, because I'm just, like I said, I don't. I go to a private gym. Like I go to the gym.
What do you say to the Leah Thomases out there who are like, 1 year, dude's the 400th ranked swimmer.
Grow
blah blah blah. And that's it. You tell them not to compete. You cannot compete. I'm sorry, man.
That's what I would do, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that's a hard, but I, you know, I can have an opinion, obviously. I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair, and I think it's very selfish. And if there's one thing I don't want to be known, I don't want to be selfish. But that's me as a human being, right?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of these, and again, every, you know, as every human does, you know, these trans girls have their own psychological struggles, right? And so this may be a part of a call to attention. This is where when I was talking about how, you know, there's some gay men I think they're transgender because they don't want to be gay, right?
Yeah.
It could be the exact same thing. These are boys that want to be athletes, but I'm not saying that's it, but those are all of those things, all of these psychological things, because it's such a strange and really foreign thing to understand unless you're living it.
Listen, we're going to cut away for a break here. We keep having this conversation. I could keep going. You're willing to stick around and keep it. We got more callers on the line with questions, more texts coming in. Hey, we're talking with Rebecca, again, for purposes of this conversation, a trans woman, and we're talking about just about any damn thing. I don't think Rebecca said there isn't anything that she wouldn't be willing to answer. I'm sure there's some limits. We'll find out what those are through you. You give us a call at 303-696-1971. You can join Gary and Frank. All the many texters that are coming in here, we'll be right back after this. Is George Brockman on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockman right back with you here. Segment two of the third hour on 710 KNUS. Had a lot of good texts and phone calls. We're going to get to those in just a second. We are rejoined by Rebecca, a trans woman for purposes of this conversation, a woman everywhere else that she goes. And we're asking all the questions I can think of that cover this topic, but you guys have had some really good ones as well. Here's a couple texts regarding team sports. How about a special league for transgender athletes, such as wheelchair basketball? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It doesn't seem like there'd be a huge percentage of folks, though, that fit that.
I just don't know why trans girls don't just compete in men's sports.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can, if you're
That's
trans,
a great question.
You just play on the men's basketball team and be a girl.
Rebecca, have you noticed, though, that there does not seem to be a big influx of trans men competing for men's sports? What's that about?
See, this is where, and I'm not, everybody has their own individual experience, right? So I'm not trying to, like, put these girls down because there's got to be, imagine the struggle of a 16-year-old trans girl, you know? I mean, you can imagine. You don't have to, you can extrapolate whatever it is, the mental challenges of that, you know, then to dig even further. But there's a selfish aspect that from a parental standpoint, I'm judging their parents more than I am the kid, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Leah Thompson's parents should have been hey, you know, Thomas, whatever.
Yeah.
I should have been like, hey, you know, we understand that you're trans, but really, you know,
it sounds like it happened late in life because Leah had been whatever his name was or her name was before in college, like had been like the 400 and something ranked breaststroker.
Do you have college kids, right?
I do two of them now. Well,
you would still talk. Well, that's right. Cause so you would talk to them about, you know, is that really what you know?
I'd have the conversation. For those that have ever listened to the show and listened to my daughter, Amanda, they know that would merely be white noise.
Well, I listen because of Amanda.
Yeah. That's a lot of people say that. I've been trying to get her back on the radio.
I've been waiting to dig you there.
Thank you. She leaves for D.C. on Wednesday and is just like, I can't make it on the show. She's got some internship. She has energy issues. I'm sure
it's
sleep-related.
Well, look whose daughter she is.
I don't know. I'm sure
she's not proud of that.
she ribs me every chance she gets. Back to that point, though, if she had said, hey, I've made this decision for whatever, of course I'd talk to her about it, but I have no hope of influencing her opinion.
I've listened. Trust me, I know.
I have no chance of convincing her of anything.
I have a son who doesn't, you know, I'm not going to get into the details of it, but, you know, it's very difficult for him.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Same discussions, right?
Gary from Denver, you're on 710 KNUS. What's your question for Rebecca?
Oh, hi, and Rebecca, thank you so much. Great conversation. If this goes over the line, you just please let me know. You know, it used to be what seemed to be a very simple subject back when you were either a gay man or a lesbian woman. And it really came down to your attraction to the opposite sex. and, you know, gay men were attracted to other men and women were attracted to other women. Now, your experience was at a much younger age, I'm guessing, before you were really interested in the opposite sex. But if and when you did become attracted to the opposite sex, what was it?
Right. So, you know, then a nutshell catch up in case you weren't listening the first hour. You know, I started realizing something was wrong with me. I was different when I was very young, 4 or 5 years old. I have a distinct memory of being in a room and looking at myself, and I can't describe it, but and so then in the late 70s, early 80s, when I started to go through puberty, that was part of the huge struggle for me, because I was attracted to girls, but I felt like a girl. And so that was part of the whole, and anybody who was of any age of recollection at that age will know how gay men were perceived at that point anyway. And how that would, and I'm like, well, I'm obviously not gay because I like women. So that was part of the struggle of what is wrong with me then, because there wasn't a real clear definition of what transgenderism was or any of that. It was more, you know, tranny or back then it was crossdresser and
is there a difference?
Know, drag and, well, no. So maybe with drag queens, I think most drag queens I've met are gay men. They're not necessarily transgender women. There are definitely trans drag queens as well. Again, going into the, you know, some of the theories, you know, cross-dressers, cross-dresser was kind of maybe the derogatory term for transgender before they knew.
Or transvestite. What's the difference?
Or transvestite. Yeah, it would be the same thing. That this is the word, right? This is the word evolutions, right? Yeah. So transvestite is the same thing as transgender, although I feel like, you know, transvestite's more like Buffalo Bill and, the creepy movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's more
the silence of the lambs.
Yeah, and again, this is that whole mischaracterization, right? This is why there's so much pushback against what's her J.K. Rowling's, right? Because she's anti-trans, blah blah blah, all that stuff. And I get it. And you know, if you want to be anti-trans, that's fine. This is, you know, in my world, you can be whoever you want. You can. This is especially in America. I know she's not American, but or anything. You can be.
So Rebecca.
Yeah,
Rebecca. So it sounds to me, you're a woman, you feel like a woman, and you were attracted to women. So to me, it sounds like you were a lesbian. So did you act upon that and find a lesbian woman and live happily ever after with a lesbian woman? If not, did you ever partner up with anyone? And if so, what gender?
So I'll just say I did partner up with a woman for most of my life. So yes, I did not live with her as a woman, though.
Okay. In the future, if you could, let's say you meet someone, it's that soulmate part two thing, and you end up hooking up together. Is that something you could foresee doing?
Yeah. It would be weird.
Well, I don't know about weird, but I'm trying to.
Well, for me.
You would have to be intimate with them, I presume. I mean, that's just part of that natural relationship thing.
If I didn't have surgery, we would have to present lesbian for me to be comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. 303-696-1971 is the phone number. Kathleen from Denver, you're on 710. Do you have a question for Rebecca?
Not a question, but I am transgendered myself, and I'm quite a bit older than your guest.
Yeah.
And I just listened to a lot of things she said, and it's my life right down the line, only mine started a couple decades earlier. And I guess there are things that I could add. I've known about this since I was 2.5 years old.
How could you remember anything at 2.5? I don't remember anything.
I have an incredible memory. Not quite like Sheldon
Big Bang
show,
yeah.
But I do remember things. I was embarrassed at the time, and I swore that as I grew older, I swore no one would ever know about this. I would keep it a secret.
Yeah.
I denied everything. I played sports. I played basketball.
Right, you repressed it. You repressed it as much as you could.
I repressed it in every way. I denied it. My mother bought, and my aunt bought matching, when I was about 5, matching sandals for my girl cousin and myself, and I refused to wear them because they were girl shoes. I would not do anything. I was terrified. In high school, it started really becoming apparent to me that I was transgendered, that I couldn't deny it anymore. But I would thought about suicide. If anybody ever found out about it.
What decade were you born in?
I was born in 1943.
Okay, so yeah, I have the same, so it's the same struggles, absolutely. And that is really interesting to share because that this is, again, George, this is the stories that I've read, that I've mm-hmm. heard, is that most of us, I know that I knew really young, but again, for me, it wasn't about a sex thing. It was about something was different.
Kathleen, do you have a question for Jacqueline, too? I really appreciate your willingness to share with us on the phone here.
I'd just like to say that I do agree on the sports thing. I'm 80 years old, and I'm still strong. I work out every day.
Right.
I do think that if they get puberty blockers before they reach puberty, fine. You know, they can fit in with a girls, a women's team, but after puberty, I'm so strong even at this age. I punch the bag and I can't play basketball anymore because of my knees. But other than that, I am. I'm 80 years old and I don't feel like it. So,
well, Kathleen,
I don't really have a question.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate that and your point of view. Kathleen's line is open at 303-696-1971. That's fascinating to me that we would get a call. I really appreciate that.
Well, so it shows how diverse your audience is, right?
Yeah, I've always suspected that too, because we'll get the occasional text or email or even some phone calls that come in that aren't your typical what you might predict for a Salem-based conservative radio talk show host. So,
well, I see. Here's the thing: is I think there's a lot of conservative folks that are a lot more open-minded than the left gives them credit for, but they have to clamp down and not express it in order to preserve the conservative values that necessarily could move a little bit in one direction, but they can't because otherwise it jeopardizes the whole aspect of it, right? And that's where I feel like we're missing that middle ground.
Yeah.
Right.
We're talking with Rebecca here at 710 KNUS. Before we cut away for a break, and then you're willing to stick around and answer, and we've still got Frank and others at 303-696-1971, some texts. Topics we haven't covered yet. Dang it. I want to talk to you about the law enforcement thing. Pronouns, Bud Light, all that other stuff.
Pronouns. But
before we get to that, though, I got to quick do a shout out to our friend Mitch Flory at the Art of Granite. Mitch has been making homes more beautiful from the inside out for a couple decades now. This is a guy that came over from Romania, having fled communist-controlled Ceausescu-led Romania as a young man. I think he was 19. Came over here, got his citizenship. Thank you, Mitch, for doing it the right way. Started up a business, started up a family. And this is a guy that will show up in your house and make that kitchen look even more beautiful than it does now. Master bathroom, same thing. Just through the countertop. And this guy he's not one of these guys that does a million things okay. He does one thing brilliantly, and that is the kitchen and bathroom countertops. And here's the deal. He loves 710 listeners, and he loves them so much that if you simply go to him, whether it's by phone, over the internet, I say go to see it in person because then you get to see all the selection of stuff that he has. And you tell him, hey, I heard about you from George on The George Show. Boom, you get that bathroom countertop for free with the kitchen countertop package. Or if you're like, hey, I'm only doing one room, he'll throw in the sink for whatever kitchen countertop package that you get for free. That's how much this guy likes the show and likes you who listen to it. You should definitely check out Mitch. You can go to the Art of Granite. By the way, it's more than granite. Of course, there's marble and quartz and all that other stuff. You can go to theartofgranite.com. But I'd pick up the phone and call him on his cell phone at 303-386-5919. That's 303-386-5919. When we come back, your calls, your texts, and Rebecca right here on 710 KNUS.
And so I'm sitting in for George.
Rebecca was threatening to bring us back, by the way. Love me some Fleetwood Mac, this Rumors album. The best.
I have to say, Billy's bumper music is, you can tell he's a radio programmer, right?
Yeah. There's ones that show up regularly, and then there's other ones that just pop up. And I get stumped. I think I stump myself about half the time. 303-696-1971 is the number. We're going to try to get to Frank from Evergreen. You're on 710. Frank, what question do you have for Rebecca?
Hey, good morning, George. This is your favorite snowflake.
What's going on?
So, Rebecca, you seem like a fine person, somebody I'd like to get to know. We'd have a lot to talk about, but to be real honest, I don't really have any interest in knowing about your sexuality. It's really none of my business.
Right.
And it's between you or me and my spouse, you and your spouse, or you and whoever you choose, and my doctor or your doctor, if I so choose. And George, the only reason this whole thing is an issue is because the baby-killing Democrats who, okay, crushing the head of a baby as it exits the womb, think they can gain some political capital with it, namely votes. And you're playing right into their hand.
I am? I'm playing into their hand?
Yeah.
How
because
so?
You are, because you are, this is what they want you to do.
They want me to what?
Do
see, a lot of people, and I'll say, you know, I'm going to generalize. I don't like generalizing because it's never correct. But
but here I am.
I'm going to do anything.
Exactly. Exactly. The, you know, just to finish up one comment, the, you know, we all have known a lot of people in our lives. And some people, for some reason, have to talk about sex. And that is something I've never been interested in. I've never engaged in talking about sex in the locker room with the guys or in this scenario here. The entire gambit is none of my business.
Well, can I interrupt here, bro? If I interrupt, what I would just say is that this whole conversation has been about how I want to just be left alone. So you're just making the point. So I really appreciate you driving that point home.
You've made that point, and that's why I say I think you're a very interesting person, and somebody I'd like to get to know more. But anyway, back to the why this is an issue, George.
Yeah.
Because the Democrats made it an issue because they look at the trans community, all these other communities. We'll call them, I forget the term you used. But anyway, all these other, they look at these communities as voting blocks. Nothing more, nothing less.
Well,
they look at the.
I love what you're saying. Right. Because I get the opportunity to push back because I'm on the radio too, I'm going to say that's how the right does it too. The right is using it just as much because that's the whole Bud Light pushback. That's the whole Target pushback. That's the whole, so you're looking at both sides of this now. The right, which again, everything that's happening in all these stores and Bud Light is all because of Pride Month. And there is a month for something. I mean, there's a day for something for everything. And so all these retailers are doing exactly what they're supposed to do in a capitalistic society. They are leveraging what they do to attract a customer that is going to shop because of an action that's happening. And so consumerism is what drives all that Pride product being in the stores right now and the Bud Light thing. And the right took that and said, wait a second, we're tired of all of this being shoved down our throat. Well, it all got shoved down at once because of Pride Month. And so it just became something they could leverage to push back on. And listen, I understand there needs to be some pushback because we need to swing back a little bit because it's too far. I'm off my soapbox now.
Frank, forgive me.
I'd be surprised if a Republican or a conservative was the one who started Pride Month.
Of course they did.
And Frank, forgive me, man. I love the phone call. I'm just running out of time, and I told Rebecca we'd cover two other topics, and I want to get to those. One, and this was sort of touched upon, is the pronouns thing.
Sure.
I mean, I've had people text in, what pronouns do you use? We had the big pronoun conversation on Friday. Someone texting in here, too, about I'm just tired of all of this stuff with the cis women, birthing persons, chest feeder, all that other stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, human birth or whatever the CDC did. Yeah, no, I mean, well, you know, when I walked in, I said, address me, right? You know, I told you my pronouns. Not at all, right?
No, you didn't do that. You're right.
I mean, I it's okay. Like, if you want to put it on your email, whatever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're, you want to be called something other
than
that's
obvious. Do
you do
that on
obvious.
Your emails?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
If you told someone to address you as she or her or whatever, and they didn't.
I would never do it in advance, right? Number one. The whole thing to you is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, walk in and go, hello, address me as she, her. My name is Rebecca. It just doesn't even make any sense from a societal standpoint.
If someone were to, though, intentionally refer to you by the male pronouns.
Which happens.
Yeah, okay, which happens. How does that make you feel? And see, you had said, hey, this is oppressive and it's an act of violence or it could be an act of violence. I mean, tell me how it impacts you.
Well, okay, so it's not an act of violence, number one, although it could be. because there are people that are just mean that way,
yeah,
right?
They're
and
mean
definitely people.
People
that I've experienced, like in like a service restaurant. And this is before I was better at looking female, I guess. That would like insist on saying sir. You know, I have one particular, and I'm just like, you know, just grow up. It's like, does it hurt you to address me how I look? Right? What is affecting you? Why is your life so miserable that you feel like you have to be miserable to me? That's all I look at it as, right? Like, if I'm obviously presenting female, even if you suspect I'm male, why would you decide to just be a jerk?
If I gave you 30 seconds to just comment on the drag queen stuff, the book reading to the kids thing, and all the movements
yeah,
in the States.
I'd take 60,
to try,
but yeah.
if I could give it to you,
I know,
but I want to give you a chance to wrap up.
Right? Yeah, I hear those heartbreaks. Here's that. It's weird. I mean, that really, seriously. That,
you did it in less than 30. Congrats.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's weird. I understand why it's happening. Most of the drag queens I know are really nice guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're really nice. Again, most of them are gay. And there's nothing wrong. But when they're reading, like, books that say, hey, become a drag queen, then is it political? Yeah. You know, are they reading? Like, if they're going to go read Dr. Seuss, I don't know that it's a big deal. But the fact that they make it about a drag queen, then it becomes about drag.
Yeah,
then it becomes,
right.
It's like, you know,
that's
so right. It's like, why are we doing that? Why does that, what makes that, like, do we have furries come have furry reading time? I mean, you know.
Listen, any last second thoughts here?
No,
because I'd love to have you back in the future, because these issues are not
back.
Going anywhere, as you probably noticed. They're showing up all the time.
I'm always a phone call away, right? So you're welcome to call me. I appreciate you having me come. I don't really have anything. I just want to say, I obviously do not speak for the whole community. In any way, my purpose for coming in here was to explain my experience and how I see it, not how everybody sees it.
I forgot to ask you about the law enforcement thing. I told my buddy I was going to ask. Dang it, Rebecca.
Shoot me an email.
Come on.
All right.
When we have you back on, and I'll ask you off air, but
sounds like
talk
plan.
About this too, but we got to talk about the law enforcement thing. Rebecca, thank you for the
thank
2 hours.
You.
I appreciate it. Won't
of
be
course.
The last time. I really appreciate it. You let us
you
know
bet.
If there's something we can do to help out. Hey, stick around. We're going to change topics at the top of the hour. It's George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.